Since the death of Fidel Castro, the predictions of what's next for Cuba, along with American-Cuban relations, have certainly been many, haven't they? While the hopes are that freedoms and human rights in Cuba will expand and relations between America and Cuba will further normalize, does history and insight offer a look at those hopes becoming realities? Here to offer his analysis is the Associate Director of the Florida International University's Cuban Research Institute, Sebastian Arcos. Thanks for being here today, Sebastian.
Thank you very much for the invitation. Well, it doesn't look good for an immediate improvement in human rights protections in Cuba or economic development, and likewise an expansion of the tent or the a new relationship with the United States initiated by President Obama, simply because the same leadership, the same style, the same essence and nature of leadership continues empowering Cuba through Fidel Castro's brother, Raul.
That's
been said that he's a reformer, but he's a very careful reformer at best.
Because the popular belief is that with Fidel gone, that is something taking the foot off of Raul, who would go further with reforms and expansion of human rights and opening borders.
Yes, that is a common belief. And the Cuban government has helped disseminate the idea that the Castro regime, is like any other government where you have internal factions fighting over for power. And that is just an image. It's just a ruse for the Cuban government to be able to attract the kind of foreign investment that it needs. The reality is that both Fidel and Raul are hardline communists who don't believe in the free market, who don't believe in democracy, and they only move when they have to, when they have absolutely no choice, because everything is crumbling around them. It happened before, after the collapse of the Soviet Union in the early 90s, when Fidel Castro legalized the circulation of U.S. dollars in Cuba and allow some of these private, very small entrepreneurs in Cuba, like the restaurants, for example. And it happened again when Venezuela, who replaced the Soviet Union as Cuba's patron in 1999, began to collapse in the last few years. And that led to this last set of economic reforms. Again, remember, no political reforms whatsoever, just minor economic reforms. What we can expect is a continuation of this very slow pace of minor economic openings with no political openings at all, even after Raul has announced to retire in the year 2018. Because again, he said that he will retire as president of the country, but he never said that he will retire from the position of first secretary of the party, which is actually the most important position in the country. So he will continue to run the country as his brother did before, and as he has been doing in the last 10 years.
Looking at human rights, and again, some have been praising Raul for opening the door to a greater human rights, which you have firsthand knowledge of with your time in Cuba. Was that indeed an opening of the door as a start to further freedoms, or was that a crack in the door simply to win some appeasement and get some of the heat off of the Castro administration?
You can argue that about economic reforms. We cannot speak of any political reforms, and human rights have not been included in this so-called opening. Quite the opposite. What we have seen in the last 2 years is a sharp increase in repression. And what we are seeing today in Cuba, as the funeral procession moves from Havana to Santiago, is an increase in repression to the point, and we have a number of reports coming out of the island, that people are not allowed to play music in their homes, and people are not allowed to laugh out in public in a corner. They are immediately called out by the police. The police is now everywhere. So, no, there has not been any opening, any relaxation of the very repressive nature of the Cuban government in the transition from Fidel to Raul, and we don't expect any such relaxation or any changes regarding the repressive nature of the regime in the upcoming years. What we're seeing is actually a retrenchment.
That was Sebastian Arcos, who is the Associate Director of the Florida International University's Cuban Research Institute, cri.fiu.edu is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. When you think of the economy, as you alluded to, there is an opening in the economic action interaction of Cuba coming in and going out. But isn't that, in fact, for example, U.S. now doing businesses with Cuba that Raul Fidel basically stole from their original owners, and it's a country, U.S. in this case, offering American businesses the chance to do business not with other businesses, but with, in fact, the Cuban government?
That is exactly right. And it's important to remember that the reason why the relationship between Cuba and the United States has been very hostile for the last 50 years is because Castro presided over the largest confiscation of U.S. businesses anywhere in the world without compensation. In 1960, Fidel Castro took over $1 billion in U.S. investment in Cuba. Today, this is equivalent to about $8 billion. None of these properties have been returned, or there hasn't been any compensation to U.S. companies after that. So actually, in my view, encouraging American companies to do businesses in Cuba again without closing up the chapter of what happened in 1960 is putting at risk once again U.S. capital in a country that doesn't respect the law, that has a tradition from not paying its own debts. And on top of that, any American company, any foreign company doing business in Cuba is not doing business with an average Cuban capitalist on the streets. It is doing businesses with the Cuban government, which owns and runs 90% of the economy, and particularly the tourist sector that has been the primary beneficiary of the relationship with the new relationship with the United States. The Cuban government, and especially the Cuban military through a company called GAESA, run, by the way, by Raul Castro's son-in-law, they control 100% of the tourist industry in Cuba. Every American dollar that is spent in Cuba goes directly to the coffers of the U.S., of the Cuban government and the Cuban military. It is extremely difficult to argue in favor of a policy that claims to help the slaves in the plantation by giving money to the owner of the plantation.
We have to wrap up here, and this is something we've talked about with other people on the show, and what hasn't been talked about since the death of Fidel is how Cuba has long given asylum to wanted criminals and terrorists, a New Jersey interest. You listening might recall the story we've talked about with Mike Kelly here on the show of Joanne Chesimard, who was convicted of killing a New Jersey state trooper at point-blank range and has been residing rather comfortably in Cuba for decades now, and the return of those criminals has yet to become a topic of conversation. But if you want to keep on top of the facts about post-Fidel Castro Cuba, the Florida International University's Cuban Research Institute and their website, cri.fiu.edu, is certainly worthy of your attention and your time. We've been joined by their Associate Director, Sebastian Arcos. Sebastian, thanks for being here today.
Thank you once again very much for the invitation and the opportunity.